he was saying loud, screaming, "Oh, you want to run, huh? You want to run?" And he was literally like jamming his gun in my head, like hitting me, and he split me. I still got the scar. So now I got blood all over my face.
Jeez.
They cuffed me up. One of the cops comes up to me, and he gets right in my ear, bro. And he's like, "Mr. Vega, your life's never going to be the same after today."
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Are you in the mood for some mouth-watering Italian dinners? Homemade bread, cheese steaks, hot subs, cold subs, salads, sides, and of course, delicious pizza? Look no further than Angelo's, located at 1032 South 5th Ave, Lebanon. Call 717-273-8579 to place your order now.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
In this episode, we have Dr. Johnny Vega, a former drug dealer and gang member who now runs a thriving natural supplement business, Hugo Budo, right outside of Lancaster, PA. After serving nearly a decade in prison, Johnny made a choice, a radical one, to rewrite his story. He's now a devoted father, a business owner, and a motivational speaker, sharing hard-earned wisdom across the country. His journey from the streets to success is a raw, real testament to the power of redemption and the belief that no matter your past, you can change your future. Johnny, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sully. I appreciate you, brother. It's a pleasure to be on American Grown, and I'm excited for the interview and the questions and just letting people know about me and what I got going on.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Oh, no
and
problem.
Making the trip up from Lancaster, you know.
No problem.
Not too far south.
Nah, about 30 minutes. It's not bad.
Not a bad drive.
Nah.
And we do want to shout out our friend, Ethan Poetic.
Yes.
Phenomenal young man.
Ethan, my man. Love you, Ethan, man. Thank you for making this happen, and wish the best for you, bro.
Yes, shout out to Ethan. He helped get us connected. He was actually on last year. It was episode 92.
Mm-hmm.
And for the listeners that might not know, you know, Ethan's an author. He has a book out and a second one.
Yes, second one coming out. Awesome testimony, awesome man, heart of gold. Ethan's a straight shooter.
Yeah,
He doesn't really like play too many games. He's
down.
Yeah, he's very passionate about what he does and very serious about what he does. But like I said, heart of gold.
He'll be passionate.
He'll give you the shirt off his back.
Oh, for sure. And,
yeah.
And you know, a mental health advocate who, for the listeners, I don't want to spoil it, but again, go back and listen to episode 92.
Yep.
He survived a near fatal car accident.
99% chance of death, brain damage.
It's wild. Yeah. But you talking with when I first met him, wouldn't even have known until he shared that story. So I encourage the listeners to go back and give that a listen. But Dr. Johnny Vega, let's dive in. Take us back. You know, what was it like growing up, and how did you first get pulled into the world of street life and gangs?
Okay, so I was born in New York City, the Bronx. I always tell people me and hip-hop were born together because I was born in the late 70s. So around the same time, you know, the hip-hop culture was born. So I was breakdancing at 6 years old and, you know, in the middle of the street with the box and the tips. But the Bronx at the time was really bad, between gangs and drugs and just poverty. My mom decided to leave New York to move to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I was 6 years old. It was my mom, my stepdad, and my sister, Veronica. My grandfather, whose name is Francisco Pagan, they call him Lili Pagan, actually opened up the first Spanish restaurant in Lancaster, PA.
Wow.
So he was the first example of entrepreneur, especially an entrepreneur of color. So I looked up to him in a lot of ways. But Abuelo, Grandpa, also liked to party. Yeah. He was also into the streets. And, I mean, they partied different back then. I mean, he would leave on a Thursday and come back Sunday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he was hardcore.
a lot of drugs and alcohol and gambling. And I witnessed that. But at the same time, I witnessed him in the restaurant. So he was a businessman, and I looked up to him. So growing up in Lancaster, I was a great kid. Got acclimated to the Lancaster life, because in New York, we weren't even allowed to, like, leave the front of the building.
Really?
Yeah, we would literally play in front of the building. If I would go down the block, I would get in trouble. And I can even recall a time when I did go down the block with my uncle, and there was a shootout. So there was shootouts, and I could remember, like, drug addicts walking up and down the street and alcoholics. I mean, wow. At the time, a lot of like LSD was big.
Okay.
So I can actually remember people like running up and down the street naked.
Just tripping out.
Yeah, just tripping out. Yeah, people jumping off buildings and, whew, yeah, hitting the ground.
So you only could play in front of your house, right?
It was probably like a 10 by 10 area.
Wow. And you come down to Lancaster, which is like
wide
country,
open.
Yeah.
I can remember hearing like crickets and seeing fireflies. And I was like, what is this?
What's going on?
And then all these kids came up to want to play. And I looked at my mom and was like, can I? And like just running around free was a whole different experience for me at the time. But growing up, great kid. Started playing sports really early, especially basketball.
Okay.
I excelled in basketball, started playing basketball for school, got good grades, but I was always attracted to the streets. You know, even just, you know, back then you were out. It's not like today where you're inside playing video games or on your phone. We were outside. And eventually going through life, about the age of 14, I started experimenting with drugs, and mainly marijuana. You know, they call it loud now or whatever. They got different names for it. But I started smoking weed, and to support my habit, I noticed a couple of my older friends were selling weed. And back then, you could, you know, stand on the block and sell drugs all day without, you know, you see the cops coming, of course, you run or whatever. It's not like today where you can't do that, but we would have certain blocks where you just set up shop. And I would, after school, I'd go to the block and sell my little nicks and dimes and make my extra money. And eventually, since I was from New York, I found a way to get to New York. You know, I had uncles that were big drug dealers, and found a connect and started bringing drugs to Lancaster. So the nicks turned to dimes, the dimes turned to ounces, ounces turned to pounds.
Oh, moving some big stuff.
Yeah, so by the time I was 19... it called me the one-stop shop. I was selling heroin, cocaine, crack, guns, anything I could get. I thought I was Scarface, bro. I literally was
this
like...
This is like out of a movie.
Yeah.
At the age of 19.
Age of 19. But I was leading a double life because I was still getting good grades in school. I was still really good in basketball.
Okay.
And got a full scholarship to Millersville University.
Wow.
Yep. So I ended up going to Millersville University. A lot of my friends, let me back up a little bit. So during that time, I ran into some dudes, befriended them. They were part of a gang, Latin Kings. And eventually I got initiated into the Latin Kings and became a gang member as well. So and then kind of rose up in the ranks in Lancaster and in Pennsylvania and just started recruiting people. And had a pretty large amount of people under me by the time I was like 20 years old.
So truly, you were living like a double life, you know?
Like literally a double life.
Excelling at school and sports, you know, getting a scholarship.
Selling drugs.
And then selling drugs, firearms, or whatever it may be, you know, and then joining this gang. So if you don't mind, What is that? A lot of people don't know, right? A lot of listeners don't know about gang life.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea, obviously. Right. But give us some, educate us. How does that work? Like, I know there's like initiation process, mm-hmm. but at such a young age to excel and then have people under you.
Yeah.
That must have been like a power trip too.
It was a power trip. I was young, making a lot of money. Not to sound boastful, but I was pretty handsome.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah.
And just feeling like myself, man. Yeah. Just feeling myself.
Swagger,
power tripping.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sophomore year of Millersville, I decided to take a semester off to open up a club.
Okay.
So I opened up a club called The Oz, and then I opened up another club called The Jelly Bean. So before I was even legally allowed to drink, I literally owned two clubs.
Two clubs.
And a lot of my friends were in Lancaster, were getting arrested. They came out with this law called Weed and Seed. And it was a law where if you got caught with drugs and firearms, you would get a mandatory minimum of 15 years. So this was like, I was like 20 years old. So a few of my friends got caught up and got big time. And it didn't even have to be like a large amount of drugs. It could be like a gram or an ounce or anything. If it was a hard drug. So like two or three of my friends got caught up. So I kind of had an epiphany, and I was like, man, I need to stop selling the hard stuff. So there was a new drug on the scene. They call it Molly now. We called it ecstasy.
Okay.
Yeah. So now I have the clubs. On top of the clubs, since I played basketball for Millersville University, I had connections in different universities like Kutztown, Shippensburg, just new people from basketball, going to parties there.
Yeah.
So now I had ecstasy.
Connections.
Yep. Yeah. So I never forget it. I went to New York City. I bought 5 pounds of weed and 50 ecstasy pills. We threw a house party. I took it back to the grandpa days. We started on Friday and we partied till Sunday. Sold all the pills instantly. And I was like, man. So I went back up to New York. I got 1,000 pills of ecstasy.
Wow.
Yep. Came back, got rid of them in like 2 or 3 days. Wow. Between the club and the universities.
Right. It was easy to move.
It was easy to move. Really easy to move. So then I started selling pills, a lot of pills. So some time goes by, probably making like 40, 50 grand a week, easy.
Wow.
20 years old, stacking a lot of money.
At that age, you don't know. I mean, making that kind of money.
Yeah. So one day I'm sitting in the club, probably 3 a.m, I'm in VIP. I never forget it. I'm sitting there. I got a girl to the left of me, a girl to the right of me, bottle of Moet, and just like the king, literally.
Yeah, feeling good.
Feeling good.
Top of the world.
But in the back of my mind, I was going through like anxiety, depression, because it was always a mental and spiritual battle with me. Like my mom would make me go to church every Sunday.
Yeah.
And to please her, I would go. And every time I would go to church, I would cry like a baby, bro.
Because you knew.
Because I knew.
You're living that double life.
Right. My conscience, you know. Yeah.
Eating at you.
I don't know how spiritual you are, but like the Holy Spirit just like.
Oh, yeah.
Killing me, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Every Sunday. I would leave church, wipe my tears.
Back to it.
Blunt in the car. As soon as I got in the car, sparked up and back to the grind.
Yeah.
That went on for a while. And then, like I said, I was in the club one night. And as I'm sitting there, the club got raided. Federal officers came in through the front door. And my security literally lifted me up, took me out the back door, threw me in the back of a car, and took off. So now my life literally changed within
like
a
that.
Second. Yeah. Now I went from making all this money and, you know, that guy in town.
Mm-hmm.
To being on the run from the federal government. Yeah, they went to my apartment. They went to my mom's house. They went to my grandmother's house. You know, we're looking for him.
Yeah.
He needs to turn himself in. He's not in that much trouble, but he needs to turn himself in. I was like, yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. I knew
in
something.
In your mind.
In
you
my
know,
mind. Yeah. I didn't know exactly what the charges were at the time.
Right,
but the way they were coming for me, I knew it was serious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So my mom called me. She's like, baby, you need to turn yourself in. I'm like, mom. I don't want to go to jail. I'm not. They have to come get me. So I was on the run for 6 months.
Wow.
Yep. I my option, my mom's funny. She was like, you can go. My mom's back then, this was before she really got into church. She was like, look, I'm gonna send you to Florida.
Okay.
Then you're gonna go to the Dominican Republic. We're gonna change your identity. We're gonna change your finger. This is my mom.
Yeah, this is your mom. Right, right. I love it though. She's
big
she's,
shout out to
yeah.
my mom. I love you.
She's your rock, right?
Yeah, she's my rock. Yeah, she's still willing to do anything. Prayed for me.
Yeah.
So instead of going to Florida, I ended up going to York, Pennsylvania. So I get an apartment out there under an alias. Back then, you didn't need any credit checks, sir.
Okay.
I showed up with the cash, gave them a fake name. They didn't ask me any questions.
They're good with it.
And now I have an apartment in York. So still selling drugs. Now I'm selling drugs in York, going back and forth to Lancaster, you know, sneaking into Lancaster to see my family. Like, we're meeting at diners and, you know. And then one day I'm in York. It's January 4th. 2001. It's a Friday. Coming out of my apartment.
Okay.
I got a driver and another guy. I'm sitting in the back. It's a Friday. Mind you, it's January 4th. So even though I'm on the run, I'm kind of excited about this year because I'm still making a lot of money.
Okay. Still making good money.
Still making good money. So I'm like, man, I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm actually making connections in other states like Indiana, New Jersey, because ecstasy is still fairly new on the scene. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to start this like ecstasy syndicate around the country. This was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to make enough money and just disappear. So as I'm driving, well, I'm not driving, but as we're driving, there's a green van behind us. And it's following us pretty close.
It's tailing you.
It's tailing us. So, matter of fact, let me rewind. I was in the apartment. This guy bought 50 pills. Owed me money for 50 pills. He gave me the money, got another 50 pills, and left. I didn't realize that the guy that just bought the pills off me was he was working for the police. But he didn't really realize who I was. He just knew I was this new dude in York that was selling pills.
So he didn't put it all together.
Nah. So
you're on the run and everything.
Right. I was Swift. Yeah. My nickname was Swift in York.
Okay.
And my nickname before that was Cash, Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash, I can see it. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
It's kind of corny, but Johnny Cash. So so we're driving. Van's following us. I tell the driver to make a left. The van makes a left. I tell the driver to go up the alleyway. The van goes up the alleyway.
I'm like,
oh, it's on. So I had, I always kept everything on me. So I had about probably 2,000 pills in one pocket, like $6,000 in cash in my other pocket. I had $82,000 in the apartment. Yeah.
Wow.
So they're following. And then I had a 22 caliber Beretta. It was just like a regular Beretta, but it was a mini version. I always carried it in my sock. So they're following us. Eventually, we got to a stop sign, and the van sped up and pulled in front of us and blocked us off. All these big white dudes got out, guns drawn.
Yeah.
Get out the car. Get out the car. The guy threw it in reverse.
No way. Yeah.
Spun it around and took off. They tried to keep up with us on foot.
Right.
But they couldn't, so they jumped back in the van.
Man.
So now there's a high-speed pursuit.
This is definitely like a movie.
Through York.
Through York, yeah.
So we're going. They're behind us. This guy that was driving was a driver. So eventually there was a point where I didn't see the van anymore. So I was like, okay, had to think fast. So I said, my plan in my head was pull over. I'm going to get out. You guys take off. They're going to chase you. I'm going to get away on foot.
Okay.
So that was the plan.
Risky plan, but it makes
sense.
Risky
plan.
At the time, it makes sense. Yeah.
Trying to think quick.
Yep.
So we pull over. I go to get out the car. And guess what, bro?
What?
Child safety lock.
No.
I was finagling with the lock. It wouldn't open. So he was. I was like, child safety. And he couldn't figure out how to do it because he was panicking.
Right.
Actually, it shows how old the car was. I roll down the window.
No way. Crank.
I go to put my arm out the window to open it from the outside. I open it up. As soon as I open it up, I look back, and I can see the green van again. So I took the gun and the pills and threw them in the trash can, got back in the car. I still had the money on me. And we take off again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with York, but there's a major street, Queen Street. and it's a strip in the hood. We get to Queen Street, and about 10 cop cars just converged on us. And it was a wrap, bro.
It was over.
Yeah, it was over.
Wow.
They pulled me out of the car. I'll never forget it. At the time, I had hair, but the cop that pulled me out of the car, he was saying loud, screaming, "Oh, you want to run, huh? You want to run?" And he was literally, like, jamming his gun in my head, like, hitting me, and he split me. I still got the scar. So now I got blood all over my face.
Jeez.
They cuffed me up. One of the cops comes up to me, and he gets right in my ear, bro. And he's like, "Mr. Vega, your life's never going to be the same after today." And he was absolutely right, bro. That was January 4th, 2001. And I didn't see the streets again till late 2009.
Yeah.
So 20 years old.
20 years old. Top of the world.
Top of the world.
More money, know what to do with.
Right.
Clubs, two clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs, guns, women.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick sip break. Let's take a quick sip break, Johnny. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I mean, you know, to kind of pick back up, for the listeners that might not know, right, you worked in Lancaster, you know, maybe an hour drive, so not mm-hmm. far, but...
Right.
But you had moved, you thought everything was good, bam, mm-hmm. they get you.
They get me.
What was that like? I mean, you're bleeding from the head, mm-hmm. your life's changed forever. That is wild.
Yeah,
like,
so first they took me to the hospital.
Okay.
They didn't know if I needed stitches or not. Cuffed to the bed, you know. They checked my head out, bandaged me up, and they took me downtown. And I never forget it. I'm sitting there, and they're literally, like, giving each other, like, high fives and, like, "We got one," because as soon as they ran my fingerprints.
Oh, so now they know, like, you're
on the run. On the run. And this guy's, I won't say a big fish, but lot bigger than they thought.
Than the local.
Yeah, they didn't think, 50 pills. It was way bigger than that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there. I called my family, let them know, it was over. I'm not on the run anymore. All mm-hmm. right. So we got a lawyer. Got the lawyer, who's a good friend of mine. Big shout out to Osvaldo Espinosa, who's a dear friend of mine to this day.
Yeah.
My mom called him up. We retained him. He came. He saw me. He said, "I'm going to find out what's going on. I'll get back to you." Bro, they didn't let us know what was going on for 11 months.
Holy cow, it's a whole year.
I sat in York County Prison with no charges for 11 months.
Really?
So by law,
yeah.
After 12 months, if they don't charge you, because I wouldn't cooperate. After 12 months, they have to let you go.
Okay.
Legally.
You're almost there.
Legally.
Yeah, 11 months.
So I'm excited. You know, but I'm still thinking the same. Like, my mental is still the same. My train of thought is still the same. I'm still Johnny Cash.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get out. I'm going to get money again. They didn't have nothing on me. I'm almost, like, boastful and, like, my ego is through the roof.
The roof, yeah.
So I'm like, they don't have nothing on me. I'm going to get out. Bro, probably like 2 weeks before the deadline where they had to release me, I get a letter in the mail.
Yeah.
Letter in the mail comes. It's from Harrisburg. I open it up. It says United States government versus Johnny Vega.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I read the charges. I didn't really understand the lingo and stuff. So I call my lawyer. He says, "Look, I'm on my way up. I got the same letter. They sent it to me also. I'm going to come up."
Yeah.
So he comes up. I get a lawyer visit. We sit down. He's like, "Bro." He didn't say bro, but he was like, "Johnny, you're in trouble. Like, this is pretty
serious."
Serious, yeah. So my charges were conspiracy to distribute 10,000 ecstasy pills. So they were watching me for a while.
Wow.
They were watching me, and, you know, people cooperated. And the way conspiracy works, like, they didn't catch me with any drugs. But the way conspiracy works, if somebody's cooperating, like, for example, you know, John Doe gets caught up. He says he's getting drugs from Johnny Vega. They ask him, "Okay, so how much drugs are you getting off of him?" And he says, 100 pills a week. "How long have you been buying 100 pills a week?" "Oh, I've been a year." Whoa. So they actually add that up.
Yeah.
charge you with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, conspiracies. That's why I tell the kids, man, stay out of trouble because you don't even have to get caught with anything.
Yeah, because you didn't have anything on you.
Nothing.
You got caught.
Mm-mm.
That's wild.
And so where I was living at, it was a 2-unit. So I was living upstairs, and my friends were living downstairs. So word got back pretty quick that, you know, I got arrested. So they immediately went into my apartment and cleaned everything out. They went to the apartment afterwards and didn't find anything.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate with that.
Seriously.
So here I am. Lawyer's talking to me. So he says...
how old would you be right now, real quick?
20. No, I'm 21 now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Young.
Yeah, dang. Still young.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
Lawyer's talking to you.
So lawyer's 21. Talking to me. He's like, so we can go to trial, but the federal government has a 98.5 conviction rate.
Wow.
So he's like, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And if you lose, you're going to get 25 years mandatory.
Okay.
So I'm 46. I would have came home probably last year.
Dang.
And this is 2001.
Okay.
Yeah. So he goes, look, we can go to trial.
Mm-hmm.
We can put appeals in, you know, to fight it after you get sentenced to the 25 years. But it's going to probably take like 6-7 years for the appeal process to go through.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I was like, man. So he said, I got another option for you. I can have you out by tomorrow. I said, all right, what do I got to do? He said, you got to cooperate. You got to, you know, let them know where you're getting the drugs from, you know. And I was like, I can't do that. You know, I can't, you know, you do the crime, do the time, mm-hmm. you know. I would have put my life in danger, my family's life in danger.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because mm-hmm. your connections are, you know, your plugs up in New York.
Gang affiliated.
Mm-hmm. If you...
Yeah.
I guess route them out.
I would have had to watch my back for the rest of my life. Even especially in jail. Like, I would have been a sitting duck in jail. So I said, that's not an option. I'll never forget. My lawyer said, all right, tough guy. And I was like, it's not about being tough. No. I just can't.
Protecting your family.
Yeah, especially my family. It's not their fault that I was selling drugs. So I said, I can't do it. So he said, I got another option. And he said, look, I can get you 120 months, which is 10 years.
10 years, okay. Yeah.
I was like, wow. He said, you already got almost a year in. I'll get you credited with that time. So you'll do 80% of your time. So he said, you'll have about seven and a half years left. So you'll come home around 29, 30. I'm like, sheesh. At the time, it just blew my mind that I was like, I just turned 21 and I'm not coming home till about 30. So he said, look, I'll give you a couple of days to think about it. But you have to make a decision within a couple of days. If not, they're going to automatically put you in for trial.
Okay, put you in for trial. Okay. Right.
And they're going to take away the 120 months. Your only option is trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, fight it if you want, but you're going to lose.
You're going to lose. And then that's what? How many years you say?
25.
25 years. Whoa. Okay.
And literally, I would have came home last year.
Last year.
I was about 21, 25. I'm 46, about to be 47.
That's wild.
That's wild, right?
Yeah.
Just to think about
that.
That
is to think about that. Yeah.
So I went back to my cell. I never forget that. I walked through the unit, and everybody knew what was going on. I was in the newspaper, like, everybody knew. So I hear guys, "Yo, you all right, Johnny? What's going on?" Because mm-hmm. after in 11 months, I made some friends. So
right.
You know,
right.
You good, bro? You know what's going on?
What's
and
the
I
deal? Yeah.
And I just kind of kept this stone face and like acted tough. And it's gonna be all right. I got this. I go into my cell. The cell door clanked. And what do you think I did after that, bro?
You broke down.
Like a baby, bro. Yeah. Like boogers coming out my nose.
I think anybody
and like
would.
And just I couldn't even talk, you know.
Yeah.
And I never forget it. My cellie, the guy was in the cell with me, he was like, bro, it's gonna be all right. You're gonna be good. And I said, pussy, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And he gotta shut the fuck up and rolled over and and I commenced to crying and And then I just felt this. I just got on my knees in the middle of the cell. Because remember the whole church thing every Sunday and crying and hearing him crying again.
Your soul, your conscience in the back
of
your
mind. And I was like,
yeah.
And I knew. So there's times in your life where you get away with stuff. And there's times in your life where, you know, you don't. Mm-hmm. And your back's against the wall and you have to pay the consequences for your choices. And I'm big on choices. And for the first 20 years of my life, I made some really bad choices. And it got me to the point where I had to do time. So I got on my knees, started praying and just asking God to, like, protect me through these next 10 years, protect my family, and just get me through it. Just get me through this.
Right.
I know I'm going to have another opportunity at life. I know it's a long road ahead of me, but just get me through this, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. I will do the right thing. I'll make the right choices. I'll help people as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And then I felt this, like, peace come over me. So remember, I had a year in. I do 80% of your time. I opened up the Bible. And it came to a scripture where it said, in order to be pure gold, you have to go through the refining period 8 times.
No way.
Yeah.
And that's what you were looking at.
And that's how much I had left. 8 years.
Wow.
So I looked around, and I was like, all right, God, I guess this is the fire I have to go through.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go through it, and I'm going to come out pure gold. So I automatically changed my mental, my train of thought, and just started working out and reading the Bible and just kind of came to a point where I said, okay, I got to do this time. Let me make the best out of it. So ended up going to Harrisburg. I got sentenced. The first federal jail I was in Oklahoma.
Really? So, yeah, what was that like?
So they put me on Con Air, bro. You ever seen the movie Con Air?
It's an older vaguely, movie. Yeah. It's an old movie. I've heard of it. I have.
So there's a plane where they put you on it. So the way the feds work is sometimes they put you on what they call transit, which is that's what it is, a transit. And they're picking up inmates at different jails so that they can go to their main jail. So I started in Pennsylvania, got on this plane, and they flew me to Oklahoma. We picked the plane literally pulls up to the jail. And you get out of the plane and you walk into the jail. So I never forget it. I called my mom from Oklahoma, and she noticed the area code. And she's like, where you at? And I'm like, I'm in Oklahoma. She immediately starts crying.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by, like, no offense, but I'm surrounded by, like, 1,000 Mexicans. And they're all, like, MS-13 and Norte's. Yeah. And I'm tattooed up. I'm working out for a year, so I'm in pretty good shape.
Right, young.
Bald head. And they're like, what set you claim, Holmes? And I'm like, I'm from Lancaster. Oh,
And I'm trying to get involved in that.
I'm not trying to get involved. Right. I left the gang life. You know, I let them know that I no longer wanted to be affiliated with the gang. They let me go because they knew the people that were cooperating were mostly gang members. They got caught up.
Okay.
So I was like, this gang stuff is whack. Like,
yeah.
And I tell the kids that all the time. Like, I in no way, shape, or form try to glorify jail or gangs or drugs. Even though the story sounds like a movie, I don't want it to make it seem like it was a cool thing.
Yeah.
It's not. It was totally whack. And if I could do it all over again, I might avoid it, but it made me who I am today. So who knows? So I was in 9 different jails, 4 different states.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma, New Jersey, Atlanta, and then my last 4.5 years were in Schuylkill, Pennsylvania. So the way the feds work, it's a point system.
Okay.
So I started in a medium. You behave yourself, your points drop. They send you to a low, your points drop. They send you to a camp, your points drop. Okay. So I was in 2 camps.
And when you say medium low, that's like
security
levels. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have to go to maximum security because my crime wasn't violent or that serious, but max is for like people that are doing like 400 years.
Yeah.
You know, serious. You
multiple
know,
lifetimes.
Yeah, like, 50 yeah. bodies under their belt wow. or, you know.
Yeah, just, yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah.
Terrorists and mafia bosses.
The real
and, yeah,
crazy
the hierarchy yeah. of crime
right,
or whatever.
Right.
So,
okay.
So I started in a medium, which was still pretty bad. And I worked my way down to a camp. So during that time, working out, going to classes, actually went back to school federal government pays for you to go to college.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So
nice. Yeah,
I said, let me take advantage and go back to school.
You're a good student. You know, so why not? Yeah.
So I ended up getting my associate's and my master's degree in federal prison. Did like anger management and just got really in touch with myself. And one day I'm in the camp and I had another epiphany. I'm sitting in my cell. It was after we did a Scared Straight program where they actually brought kids in and we're supposed to scare them. They don't do that anymore.
That's what
you're saying. They used to have a show called Scared Straight.
I think I remember seeing
clips of that. Yeah, they would bring kids into the jail and, you know, the inmates kind of scare the kids. And I said, I don't want to do that when I get home. But I want to make sure these young people don't make the same mistakes I made. Because I fell into, you know, between the music and the streets and the gang, I was pretty much brainwashed into thinking that it was cool to like sell drugs and be in the streets and it's a lie. And I wanted to relay that message to the youth. So I did my time, paid my debt to society, came home in late 2008, early 2009. I had to go to a halfway house. And guess what my first job was?
Oh man, I can't even think what it would be. I really
straight felon.
Yeah.
Just did almost 10 years, and my first job was Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Okay, I was thinking grocery store,
Kentucky
something like
Fried
that,
Chicken, frying chicken
or warehouse.
So I went from making 40-50 grand a week to making like $400 every 2 weeks.
Oof.
So it was a very humbling experience.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was frustrating. I can remember one day I'm walking back to the halfway house and I'm crying, bro. Like, bro, in that 10-year period, whatever money I had was gone between lawyers and just
dried up
quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I came home with nothing. I came home with boxers, T-shirts, and socks.
That's it.
That's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So complete start over.
From scratch.
From scratch.
So I'm making this money at KFC, kind of depressed. And I'm walking to the halfway house, you know, praying, complaining to God. And I never forget it. Before I walked into the halfway house, I looked down, and there was a $100 bill on the floor. I'm looking around like, what's going on? So I look up, and I kind of heard a voice say, I got you.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. So I put the $100 bill in my pocket, walked into the halfway. You're not allowed to have cash.
Oh, okay. So
they check you,
that. What happens?
So I said, look, I found this on the floor.
Oh, you're honest. Boom.
Yeah. You could never forget it. You could, because there's cameras in front of the halfway house. You could check the cameras. If somebody dropped it, you know, just let them know they dropped it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So they were like, we're going to check the cameras. We're going to put it in your... We had like a box where we put like, they put our personal things. We're going to put the $100 in your box.
Okay.
If somebody comes and says they lost it,
we're
going to give it to them. So I said, cool, went back. So I get through the halfway house, end up going home. I had to do 6 months at the halfway house, but they gave me 3 months in the halfway house, 3 months house arrest. So I ended up getting a home plan at my mom's house. So the last 3 months of that, I spent at home.
Oh, that's nice.
Ended up getting another job at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worked my way up to manager. And then after that, there was a job opening at a place called Teen Haven. It was a full-time ministry working with kids.
Okay.
So, you know, summer camp, basketball on Tuesdays, you know, Bible study. There was a position for boys program director at this place called Teen Haven.
Teen Haven in Lancaster.
In Lancaster.
Okay.
So there was the guy in charge of it. His name's Pastor Jose Jimenez. Big shout out to Pastor Jose Jimenez. There was all these guys lined up for this job. It was a pretty good job, well-paying job. They preferred that you had a degree. I had the degrees.
Nice.
I had the felony, though. Now, when it comes to kids, as long as you don't have anything on your record pertaining to violating a child,
right,
you're good. You know, they do your background check,
yeah,
all that stuff.
You're not a pedophile. You're,
right.
Yeah.
So they did the background check. Of course, the felony came up for the drugs. And, man, he gave me an opportunity. There was probably four or five other guys, no felonies, you know. And he gave me
and
the
he
job.
Picked you.
And he picked
you.
Me.
Yeah.
And I did that for about... 2.5-3 years, boys program director at Teen Haven. It gave me an opportunity to work with kids, get used to that. And then it also gave me an idea of how nonprofits work, because it's a nonprofit organization.
Okay, yeah.
So I did that for about 2.5-3 years, ended up transitioning from that to starting my own nonprofit. So I started a nonprofit called J Arts, which was Juvenile Adult Rehabilitation and Transitional Services, okay. J Arts. Yeah. So the premise or the point for that was helping guys that were getting out of prison and mentoring the youth. Mm-hmm. So I did that. Got a whole team together. We started it up, got our 501(c).
Oh, it was legit.
Completely legit. And we started doing it. So we started mentoring kids in Lancaster and helping guys and women that were coming out of jail. The helping adults that were getting out of jail kind of got me burnt out because people would come home ready to change, really positive. Yeah. And the majority of the adults either were going back to drugs after a couple months or just acting up after a couple months. And it was really, like, getting me upset, like, because I had did all that time.
Right.
And I'm like, bro or ma'am or whatever, like, you're getting another opportunity and at you're life, messing up right? again.
Yeah, what are you doing?
So I came to the conclusion that sometimes you can't teach a dog old tricks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, 100%.
So I kind of strayed away from the adults and just focused on the youth. Mm-hmm. And we built it up to the point where we had mentoring programs in York, Harrisburg, and Lancaster. I had over 1,000 kids.
That's making an impact.
Within 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, they would always give us the worst of the worst.
Troubled youth. For sure.
And between my story and just the mentoring program that we put together, you know, we were turning kids' lives around, you know, going from truancy kids to kids, you know, getting honor roll and showing up.
Wow.
And really making a big, they call it quantitative information.
Okay.
Quantitative information is just that, like showing the fact that this kid went from straight Fs to straight A's or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we recorded that. So now we started getting grants for the nonprofit. That started growing. And then I just started meeting, like, some really good people. Like, my grandmother used to always tell me, show me who your friends are and I'll show you who you are. So the first 20 years of my life, my friends were drug dealers and gangbangers. So I eventually became a drug dealer and a gangbanger. Mm-hmm. So when I came home, I was really adamant about my circle and who I surrounded myself with, who I let around me. I'm big on energy. Mm-hmm. And I met a gentleman named Nashawn Walker from Harrisburg. We started working together in Harrisburg schools. Big shout out to Nashawn Walker, you know, Gerald Jarman, Coach Duke. These are guys from Harrisburg that are doing amazing things with the youth. We're all still friends to this day. And Nashawn hit me up one day and he was like, look, I got this interview in Chicago. I'm not flying out. I got to drive. Would you mind going with me to Chicago?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, let's go. So we go to Chicago. He's on this big show. He's getting interviewed by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Clyde Rivers.
Okay.
Dr. Clyde Rivers owns and runs the biggest honoring society in the world called I Change Nations. And his whole thing with I Change Nations is that he goes around the world and he honors people for the things that they do.
I love that.
You can look it up. So he's honored, like, kings, queens. This guy is, like, the most awesome networking person I ever met in my life. Like, he's Dr. Clyde Rivers, but he's also Sir Clyde Rivers. Like, he's an honorary knight.
Wow.
He's an honorary king in Africa because of the people he's honored in Africa. So he's been following me on social media, and I don't even know it.
Oh, wow.
So he comes up. I walk into this room. It's this big, like, news station. They're getting ready for the interview with Nashawn. I'm just watching. I just came for the ride.
Yeah, yeah.
I see this dude. He's probably, like, Dr. Rivers is probably, like, 6'8".
Tall.
Just a
big.
Big muscle. Man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's suited up, and I see him. And Nashawn takes me over to him, introduces you know, this is my friend Johnny Vega. This is Dr. Clyde Rivers. He shakes my hand. And as soon as he shakes my hand, he goes, you're next. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And he goes, you keep on doing what you're doing, and you're the next person that I want to honor.
Whoa.
And I'm like, man, I just fresh out of jail, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't really grasp what he was saying at first. So he says, you got a great story, but I'm going to give you the credentials to back it up.
Okay.
I'm gonna show you how to take things that you're doing now, because I was basically just doing little, and this is before like people were really like going live and and doing motivational stuff on social media. Matter of fact, then a lot of people were calling me like corny, or why are you always saying motivational videos on Facebook? And
really, nah, it wasn't just popular like it is wasn't now. Popular, like, and right. Not that it's the popular thing, but it's like I think more people are starting to realize like. You know, it's not bad to share your story and, right. and put positivity, positive vibes, like you're saying, right. motivational stuff out there.
Right.
So, okay, continue. Yeah.
So
yeah.
He shook my hand.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll be in touch. So I said, man, I got to turn it up now. So I, you know, kept on doing the mentoring programs, kept on doing the motivational videos. And he reached out to me and he was like, look, I want you to come to D.C. We have an award called the Golden Rule, because his whole thing with ICN is the Golden Rule, which is treat people like you want to be treated. So they give out several awards. One of the awards was the Golden Rule Award. So he says, I want you to come to D.C. We're going to honor you, and we're going to give you this award, the Golden Rule Award. So I show up to D.C., bring my daughter. At the time, she was probably like 5 or 6. And they present me at the Capitol with this Golden Rule Award.
Wow.
So after that, him and I become like super tight, Dr. Clyde and myself. We become more than just honoring me, we became friends.
Friends, yeah.
So we're in touch. He's telling me what he wants to do with ICN. Any way I could help him, I help him. So probably like, that was 2009. He gave me a couple more awards. And then the highest award that he has is honorary doctorate. So he hits me up. He calls me JV. He's like, hey, JV, you ready for the doctorate? So I was just honored. I was honored and in awe. Like, man, I went from drug dealer, gang member to
right.
I'm going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Didn't go to school for it. Didn't. I said, I don't understand this. He says, your life and what you went through and how you turned it around earned you this doctorate. Yeah. So just like, I don't know if you know how honorary doctors work, but a lot of famous people or people that have made an impact, like, Dr. Martin Luther King, he doesn't have a educational doctor. He has an honorary doctor, you know, Muhammad Gandhi,
yeah,
doctor, yeah. You know, this is pretty serious. Big, Oprah Winfrey. And
right.
You know, so,
it's an honor.
Yeah. I mean, so I go to DC and
okay, yeah. Was your daughter with you for this one?
She was.
Yeah.
And then my grandmother came to see me, and she had stage 4 cancer, drives from Chicago or Milwaukee to Pennsylvania just to see me receive this doctorate. My dad, my biological dad. It was pretty big. So the way they set it up was we were actually in where they have Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had to,
you were
like,
right up in there.
In there, like. Like civilians are not allowed in where we were at.
Yeah.
Like, they had the paintings and like it was like historical stuff all around. You know, the guys with the glasses and the black suits with the
earpiece and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So we go in there. I get he presents me with the doctorate. You know, I'm in awe. And then that just pushed me and lit a fire under me to just take things to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you know, I got the doctorate now, still working with the youth. I come across another gentleman named Ron James.
Okay.
Big shout out to Ron James. He is the owner of the Choice Foundation. So he did 25 years in jail, ex-crack addict. He tells his story all the time, but like serious drug addict, like in the streets, not bathing for days, eating out of trash cans.
Wow.
He even has a movie about him called Choices, and he'll be great for your show.
Definitely. Mike's always open, yeah. Yeah.
So Ron, so he created the Choice Foundation. Now he travels all around the country to different schools telling his story.
Okay.
And his main thing is Choices. So I meet him, at a mutual meeting because he was preparing to do his movie, and he wanted to talk to us about roles in his movie and how it was going down. And actually, my friend TJ Griffin, who has another good guy for his show, he has a Creative Hope Studio, him and Jose Reyes. TJ played him in the movie. So TJ is a good friend of mine. Hey, I want you to meet Ron. We meet at his house. Ron hears my story. He goes, look, if you ever want to come out with me to a school to speak to the kids, you know, I do assemblies. I do this thing called restorative circles where we sit in circles and the kids talk and, you know, you have a talking piece. And I said, cool, I would love to. So I was kind of rough around the edges. You know, the first school, I used to sweat like a Hebrew slave, bro. It was embarrassing how much I used to sweat. Like, they would have to, like, come with a rag or, like, a towel
or something.
Yeah, wipe your bald head because I'm sweating profusely. So, but he gave me tips. You know, he showed me the ins and outs of public speaking. You know, how to, you know, do a pregnant pause and, you know, don't stay in the same spot, work the room and, you know, make your voice fluctuate and keep your energy up and just different tips. Like every time we spoke, after we speak, he always says, so what's one positive and what's one negative thing you took out of what you did today? And then he would always say, like, do you mind if I, you know, give you some pointers? And he would like point out different stuff that he wanted me to. So this goes on for years. And Ron and I have traveled all over the country together in the last 10 years, probably, you know, Washington State, California, Jersey, New York, Atlanta. So now I'm nationally known motivational speaker, doctorate, you know.
It's surreal. It's like
co-author on a couple books, working on my own book. And it's just been a journey, bro. And then, of course, I got a daughter. Just had another daughter, so I got two little girls. I'm a girl dad. Can't make a boy to save my life, but that's okay. And just life's been good, man. Just the story of redemption and second opportunities, and so then transitioning from motivational. I'm always trying to come up with different things. I've always been an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the drug game, it was a business, and I was good at it. Not that good because I got caught.
Right, but still, you knew the entrepreneurial, and you had the school. You know, the education. You're smart.
Right. So I tell the youth that business is supply and demand,
mm-hmm.
and there's only two kinds of businesses: either a service or a product, or a combination of the both. So, so when I go into schools, I talk about business, entrepreneurship, credit, financial literacy. I try to teach the kids early because I let them know now, you can, especially at this day and age, man, you could be 15 years old and have your own business and, you know, on social media or whatever.
Or some kind of hustle to make some money. And I shouldn't say hustle, but some kind of
it's a hustle
job. But yeah, it is.
Everything's a hustle, bro. Yeah,
that's true.
And I tell people, you know, it's not the game doesn't change, it's the product.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your product is either a service or a product. What do you want to do? And I tell kids, what are your gifts?
Good point.
What are you good at?
Yeah.
What are you passionate about?
Yeah, 100%.
Because, you know, I don't knock anybody for a 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of people working that are miserable, bro.
Yeah.
They work 30, 40 years and they're not happy.
Their whole life, yeah.
To retire, to enjoy it for what, 10 years?
Yeah.
So I let them know. I said, I don't knock a 9-to-5. I don't knock college. But I tell them, college ain't for everybody. You know, 90% of the stuff you learn in college, you can learn. You could self-teach yourself.
Right.
And stay out of debt and, you know. Yeah. And be successful now.
Mm-hmm.
So I really plugged that a lot. And in 2019, got the mentoring going, got the speaking going. This is probably 6 months before COVID hit. I got really, really sick. I got pneumonia.
Whoa.
I was in the hospital. Organs started shutting down. I got blood clots. My mom thinks I got COVID before COVID.
COVID was a thing. Yeah.
Is probably like 6 months before COVID.
Jeez.
And I lost like, 27, 30 pounds in a week. Literally on my deathbed, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, people coming in, praying for me, you know, putting oil on my head.
Oh, yeah. They thought you were done. Like,
it's not funny, but just thinking back.
But thinking back, it, yeah.
It's pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know, I look like I aged, like, I look like I was 60 years old.
You look in good health now. I mean, like,
thank you.
I mean, obviously it's years later, but
right.
Like, yeah.
So, to
be on your deathbed pretty much. Wow.
So I'm in there, and this gentleman, he's an herbalist by the name of Brother Saeed.
Okay.
He comes in. He has a jar. He goes, brother, this is called sea moss. Take this twice a day.
Sea moss?
Yep. It's okay. An algae.
Okay.
It's a gel. It's a clear tan, like the color of my shirt, tan gel. And I'm like, man, the stuff they're doing for me is not working. So
why not?
Take 2 tablespoons. At the time, I was getting these shots in my stomach for the blood clots. That was probably the worst part of the whole experience, because every time I would get this shot, I would have this burning sensation in my stomach. So I asked the doctor one day, I said, man, how long am I have to get these shots in my stomach? He said, well, if you could start walking up and down the hallway, eventually we could stop giving you the shots. I said, all right. But I wasn't even strong enough to, like, walk to the bathroom or, like,
wow.
I had to crawl up steps. That's how weak I was.
Sure. Yeah.
And I was an athlete. Like, I worked out my whole life. So I start taking the sea moss. A couple days go by. Start feeling a little energy. Start feeling a little better. So I'm like, man, I think I'm strong enough to start walking up and down the hallway. So I start, you know, gingerly walking up and down the hallway. Still taking the sea moss.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the hospital for about 2.5, almost 3 weeks. And by the third week, I was feeling pretty good. So they release me. I go home. I call Saeed. He brings me another jar. I need another jar of that stuff, bro.
Yeah.
You mean the sea moss? I said, yeah, it's working. Keep on taking it. Within probably like 2.5 months, I fully recovered. After the doctor said my lungs would never be the same again.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be able to play basketball, jog, none of that.
Wow.
Fully recovered. They didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling them, I'm taking this stuff called sea moss, you know, that natural stuff doesn't work. They're basically like laughing at me.
Okay.
They chalked it up as, you know, almost like a miracle. And so I go on Etsy. You know what Etsy is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I go on Etsy. Yeah. I look up sea moss.
Okay.
Sure enough, raw sea moss from St. Lucia. I think I paid like $50 for a pound.
Yeah.
Get the pound in the mail. I go on YouTube. How to make sea moss gel.
And this is a thing.
This is a thing. Look it up.
Not a lot of people know about it.
At that time, not a lot of people know about it.
Yeah.
Now sea moss is like the largest natural supplement in the world.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I caught it right before the wave hit. So I look up the video. This Jamaican dude soaked the sea moss in alkaline water with limes. Let it sit overnight. It rehydrates because it's dehydrated. It expands. You clean it real good, and you blend it again with alkaline water, and you get this consistency where it's a liquid, but as soon as it cools off, it hardens to a gel. Boom.
Okay.
I know how to make the gel now. So I'm making it for myself. I give it to my mom. Mom, try this sea moss. Put it in this gel. Put it in your smoothies.
Yeah.
She goes, all right, I'll try it. She has thyroid problems. She had her thyroid removed because she had thyroid cancer. So she has to take this medication to regulate her hormones because, you know, your thyroid controls your hormones.
Right, right.
So she's taking the sea moss. She likes the energy. Her skin gets clearer. But she went for a checkup, and her numbers went down to the point where she didn't have to take her thyroid medicine anymore. And the only thing she changed was the sea moss. She didn't change her diet. She didn't start exercising. She's just taking sea moss every day.
Yeah.
So my dad, high blood pressure, takes high blood pressure medicine. You know, he needed to lose some weight. I'll never forget it. My mom's making a smoothie. My mom and dad are funny. He's like, honey, what are you doing? She's like, I'm eating the sea moss. And he goes, why don't you tell me about the sea moss? I want to try it. And she was like, because I want you to die. And
I get what you mean, yeah.
So we all start cracking up. And I said, yeah, Dad, it'll help you with your blood pressure. And he didn't mean, like, you could just eat it. like just take the two. My mom was doing smoothies, but you can just take two tablespoons. My dad's hardcore.
Yeah.
Give me the jar.
Let's do it.
Two tablespoons. He downs a whole bottle of water. He goes, all right, son, I'm going to see how it works.
Yeah.
Like 3 days later, I'm pretty sure he won't mind sharing this because, but high blood pressure affects men in a certain way, if you know what I mean. So it was affecting him. Sex life wasn't what it used to be. So funny, man. About 3 days, my dad's like straight old school, doesn't text a lot, doesn't call a lot. If he's calling, it's for like a specific reason. If he's texting, he won't like randomly just text you.
Mm-hmm.
So about 3 days later, I'm driving. I get a text from my dad, and it says, I love you, son.
What? He's like, what? I left field? Yeah.
So I call him.
What's going on? Yeah,
What's up, Dad? You all right?
Yeah.
He's like, I love you, son. I'm back. So I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, the CMOS is working.
Yeah.
So then my mom texts me, and she texts me like the emojis, and, you know, I had to take a time out last night, and I'm like, what? This is too much information. And so they start taking it. Their health gets a lot better. To this day, my dad is like, I need my CMOS, son. And this is, what, 7 years later, they started telling people at church, my son has this stuff, give you energy. You know, if you have any kind of health conditions, it'll help with your health conditions. So people, like, it started with the pastor. Hey, Pastor Phil hits me up. He's like, hey, I heard about the CMOS. I want to try it. So out of the pound I got from Etsy, I got like 20-something jars out of it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm giving it away.
Yeah.
It only cost me $50. Giving it away. Pastor starts, you know, feeling better, more energy. His health conditions get better. He's telling other people. So I'm giving it away for probably about a month and a half. You know, just giving back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is amazing. I'm like helping people heal from their underlying health issues, you know,
right,
getting their sex back, you know, sex life back, you know, diabetes is going away. Like, this is crazy just from taking this plain CMOS.
Wow, yeah.
So I did more research. Okay, CMOS has 92 minerals in it. If you put burdock and bladderwrack in it, it has 102 minerals. Your body is made of 102 minerals, literally.
Okay.
Every single mineral that your body's made of is adds up to 102 different minerals. CMOS gives you all of them.
Hmm.
So in layman's terms or simple terms, it fills in the empty spots.
What you're missing.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're deficient in anything, it helps you to get undeficient, and your body goes back to its original state, like what it was supposed to be before we did damage to it.
Yeah.
So
what's it taste like, real quick?
Plain CMOS doesn't have a taste.
No real taste.
The biggest complaint, just eating it raw, is the consistency.
Okay.
Some people say I can't swallow it because of the consistency.
Okay.
So I tell people smoothies, hot tea.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but, mix it in there. Yeah.
So that's what CMOS does. So it automatically helps with almost any underlying health issue that you have. So I'm giving it away, and then a light bulb went off, bro, and I was like, profit margin.
Yeah, entrepreneurial.
People are getting healthy. I can make this much off of $50. Let me do it as a side hustle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at the time, I still had a decent presence on social media. Hey, guys, I got this stuff that'll keep you from developing mucus in your body. So, you know, mucus in the lungs is bronchitis, pneumonia.
Right.
You know, mucus in the bones is arthritis. Mucus in the brain is, you know, memory loss.
Mm-hmm.
So if you eliminate the mucus, you eliminate the health issues. Try to keep it simple. All right, let me get a jar. So then I started doing pretty good. So I'm dropping off CMOS, I'm making it in my house, and then something catastrophic happened. COVID-19.
Yeah, that's true, right? Let's not forget about that.
COVID-19. Yeah. Mind you, I'm working for another place in a transitional home, so I'm an essential worker.
Okay.
So I'm allowed to drive around.
Yeah, a lot of people couldn't, right? You know, or allegedly. Right?
Allegedly.
Yeah.
So the whole world's locked in their homes, and I'm on social media saying, I got this stuff that'll keep you from getting sick. all natural, no side effects. People start hitting me up.
Yeah.
I got to the point where I'm making a couple hundred dollars a day. I never forget the first time I did a dance on TikTok. I said, first time making $1,000 in a day off CMOS.
Yeah.
And my daughter's with me. We're dancing and having fun. And I just kept pushing with it. And then I doing more research on CMOS. I started infusing it with different stuff, other natural supplements like moringa or soursop.
Okay.
So now I have CMOS with moringa, CMOS, you know, strawberry CMOS, mango CMOS.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Pineapple, pina colada.
Tastes a little better.
Tastes a little better. More health benefits because of the stuff I'm putting in
mixing
it.
Mixing the fruits and everything. Yeah.
Right. So years go by. That was 2019. Kept on pushing it. Still working. And it just grew and grew and grew. And now if you look CMOS up on Instagram or Facebook, there's thousands of people selling CMOS. And nobody had CMOS back then.
Back then.
So I was one of the first that I know of.
Ahead of its time.
Ahead of its time, yeah. And then eventually other people started selling CMOS. I meet a guy from St. Lucia, and he gives me a great deal. So now I can sell supplements in bulk.
This is wild. So it's like full circle.
Moment.
I was gonna say, yeah, you went from having the connections and the plugs up in New York now.
Right. So that's why I tell people: same game, different product.
Yeah.
Same concept. I'm just the other day. I was this guy. Big shout out to Dr. Thomas, Shamar Thomas, down in North Carolina. Really good friend of mine from Lancaster. He ordered 30 pounds of CMOS. So I'm in the store talking to my partner Manny. And I'm like, yeah, bro, Shamar wants 30 pounds. And he's like, what, of weed? And I'm like, bro, we sell CMOS, man. Right, right. Chill out.
Yeah, yeah. But that's wild. Like you say, 30 pounds. Like, right. Whoa.
But same concept. I get it at a price. I tell him to give, because he's going around to different stores and different markets in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So eventually he'll be selling hundreds of pounds, and I'll be mailing it to him.
Yeah, you're the plug of the connection.
I'm the plug and the connects. Some things don't change. So now I'm selling. So that's why I told you about Landed Sea Natural Supplements is actually the distribution company, and then Hugo Puro is the juice bar.
Okay.
So it's two separate companies, but working together.
I got you.
Yeah. So, here I am. And then I'm always trying to think outside of the box. So everybody's selling CMOS. So I started doing research on other natural supplements. Black seed oil, which is amazing for your body. Moringa, turmeric, elderberry. Different teas that are good for you, different honeys that are good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I started outsourcing different supplements from all over the world. 2023, I found a storefront.
Okay.
A good friend of mine, David Martin, has a building, beautiful storefront. I was like, I'm going to go for it.
Brick and mortar. Yeah.
Opened up the storefront, and here we are. We just celebrated our two-year anniversary in June. At first, it was just supplements. About 5 months ago, we renovated the whole store and did a juice bar.
Nice.
So now I'm doing research on juicing and cleansing and fast.
Good for you.
Amazing,
yeah,
bro.
Good for you.
I actually did a watermelon fast 3 weeks 3 weeks ago. Last week, where I did nothing but drank water, watermelon juice, and ate watermelon for 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. I felt like $1 million.
Yeah.
Cleansed my system. Got rid of any bacteria in my body, any parasites in my body.
Nice.
I lost like 8 pounds.
Yeah.
Energy levels through the roof.
And they say most, you know, especially when you open up your first store, mm-hmm. most of those businesses don't make it through the first year. So you're in your second year.
I'm in my second year.
That's phenomenal. And I wanted to, because you mentioned your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you wanted to shout them out, or I don't know if you want their names on.
I have a 15-year-old daughter named Sophia. She's my heart and soul. And then I just recently had a baby, Zariah.
Sophia and Zariah.
And Zariah is 2 months. Big shout out to my lady, Sierra. I love you. So we have a brand new baby girl. Just enjoying life and enjoying my kids and my lady and my family. One thing I've learned is life is short, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Life is short. You're not promised tomorrow. So it's best to keep a balance, taking care of yourself physically, mentally, and spiritually. I say health is wealth. So there's no feeling like being at optimal health. I tell people, like, no matter where you're at in life, you should start the process of trying to get to optimal health, which is, you know, weight, being active, some kind of exercise, because eventually it's going to take a toll on you if you're doing damage to your body.
Yeah, it catches up.
It catches up. Age is no joke, bro.
Yeah.
Age is no joke. I'll be 47 next month and probably in the best shape of my life.
Yeah.
Physically, mentally, and spiritually. Feel great. Can still run 5 miles. Still play basketball all day.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You said, yeah, play with the guys.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's take a quick snack break.
Snack break.
Yep. This snack break is brought to you by Jerky Beef Jerky. When late night editing episodes for the podcast, Jerky Beef Jerky keeps me fueled and ready to go with 11 grams of protein, high quality ingredients, and no nitrates or nitrites. With 5 different flavors to choose from, Jerky Beef Jerky. Eat, meat, repeat. So to pick back up, what's something you would say to the younger version of yourself back before prison, you know, before the business, before this transformation you've gone through?
I would tell young Johnny that to believe in yourself and to be real with yourself. Watch your surroundings, people, places, and things. I would tell young Johnny to stay away from negative things. And I would tell young Johnny that it wasn't your fault. There was a lot of things that happened to me as a child that put me in a mind state that I had to sell drugs, or I had to be this tough guy, or have this tough persona. And it was all just a mask.
Yeah.
I would tell young Johnny to take off the mask. Yeah, and just be himself and be true to himself and listen to your mom.
Yeah, listen to your mom. Ain't that the truth, though? Ain't that the underlying truth? Listen to your mom.
Because she told me over and over again, and I just...
She probably preached it, you know?
I was hard-headed, man.
Yeah.
Thought I was untouchable and bit me in the butt, but...
A lot of the youth are, you know, and when we're young, we all think we're, you know, unstoppable, you know, and just we know what's best, but you learn. So, you know, service and serving others is a big part of your life now. Why do you think that you take it so seriously?
At this point in my life, seriously, I want to leave a legacy behind. Mm-hmm. I want to, I was just telling my daughter that the other day. I said, when I'm gone, I want people to randomly think about me and say, wow, Johnny. And I don't do it to get patted on the back, just to have a good memory about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a positive way.
A positive way.
He may change.
Yeah. Just the mention of my name gives a person a memory of, wow, he helped me with my diabetes, or he helped me with my high blood pressure, or he let me vent and just get this off my chest and walk me through it. Or I want my legacy to be amazing. Because it started off rough, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
There we go. Couldn't say it better. So now, how can our listeners, Johnny, connect with you and follow along on the interwebs?
Right now, we're working on a website. We should have it up and running within a week, but Hugo Pudo is located in Lancaster, PA. The address is 220 Hazel Street, Lancaster, PA. We're open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you have any kind of underlying health issues, we can address those. Not saying I can cure it, but we can definitely address it. And that goes for diabetes, high blood pressure, cholesterol, energy, weight loss, skin conditions. Or if you just want to enjoy a fresh juice or a smoothie or acai bowl.
Oh, nice. Yeah, those are good.
Amazing, bro.
Those are good. Okay.
Come on in. Yeah. If you want a juice cleanse, we have things like 3-day juice cleanses, 1-day juice cleanses. Like I said, I have way more than just sea moss. I have black seed oil, moringa, soursop, which is guanabana in Spanish. They call that the cancer killer. Come check me out. And if you need me for any kind of speaking engagements, you can reach out on social media. I'm Dr. Johnny Vega on Instagram, Johnny Vega on Facebook and TikTok. Feel free to reach out. and I do assemblies and restorative circles in different schools all over the country. So if you need my services on that. And then I just got into a new business. I have a notary business with Khalil and Isada. We do mobile notaries.
Okay.
So we didn't talk about it, but there's a thing called apostille. With everything that's going on with immigration, there's a high-level notary where you can get your paperwork stamped and you can travel back and forth to your country with no problems. So if you need that service, give me a call. My phone number is 717-606-2291. That's the business line. Feel free to text or call me.
Perfect.
If you need any of those, if you need help with anything, hit me up.
Yeah. So before we close out, anything else that I might not have known or we didn't cover that you want to leave with the listeners?
I just want to motivate you guys. Health is wealth. Quitting is not an option. No matter where you're at in life, every day that you wake up is a new opportunity to breathe, a new opportunity to be great. Try not to dwell on the past or the bad choices you made. Every day is a clean slate, so take advantage of it and strive to be great. And if you need any help, feel free to reach out to me. It doesn't have to be about business or supplements. It could be just prayer or advice, and I'm more than happy to help out.
To learn more about Johnny and his supplement company, Hugo Budo, check out the links in the show notes. And if today's episode resonated with you, please share it, leave a review, and follow American Grown Podcast for more stories from the heart of our community. Johnny, I'm going to close it out.
Thank you, Sully. I appreciate you, brother.
It's great meeting you. Johnny, likewise. Thank you for being so real and raw with your story. You remind us that no one is too far gone to change and that the darkest past can lead to the brightest purpose. Dr. Johnny Vega, owner of Hugo Budo, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, brother.
Awesome, brother.
Appreciate
great.
You.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors. A&M Pizza, authentic Italian food made with the finest quality ingredients. Proudly serving the Lebanon and Lancaster area since 1980. Stop by their Campbelltown location today. You'll be happy you did. Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. Are you in the mood for getting out of your house this evening? Head over to Boyer's Tavern in Rexmont, PA. They have appetizers, soups, salads, wings, mouth-watering burgers, sandwiches, and many other entrees to choose from. Proper food and drinks made by slightly improper folks. Head over to Boyer's Tavern today or give them a call at 717-450-4063.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.